Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 119, section Aleph, or verses 1 through 8. Relying on God for the right attitudes to heed Scripture for blessing. Let me just make sure I've turned on the recorder. We have.
Okay.
Psalm 119. Every bit of it is about the profitable use of God's written scriptures. And the psalm is formed as an acrostic, where each section contains a Hebrew letter that begins each of the eight verses in that section. For example, you'll notice under section Aleph, all of the first letters of the first word in each of the eight verses begin with the letter Aleph. And then under section Beth, all of the first letters of the first words of each of those verses begins with the letter Beth. These were used as what they say is a mnemonic device, a memory device. So you would say A, and everybody would go through Oya, and then they'd do the verses for Aleph. Then someone would yell out Beth, and then they go through it. It's like A, B, C, you know, and the children have memorized the verses for all those sections. And since the Word of God is formed by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, why not use the letters of the Hebrew alphabet to speak about the Word of God itself? So Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8, section Aleph, teaches our need to rely on God for the right attitudes to heed Scripture with blessing. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that You have granted us to fellowship around the Word of God. We thank You for the liberty to do so, the indwelling Spirit, Word of God. Father, we ask that as we get into the Word this morning that we would understand the text and be able to use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we'll look at the King James Version first. Psalm 119, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments, I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Okay, the verse numbering system, of course, the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible, so we're just going to stay with the English Bible's numbering system. And we translate Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8 as follows. Oh, the happinesses, this is a plural. Oh, the happinesses of those who have integrity, tamim, of the way, who walk in the law of Yahweh. Oh, the happinesses, plural, of the keepers of His solemn declarations, who seek Him with a whole heart. The reason, incidentally, happiness is plural is for emphasis. In Hebrew, if you ever wanted to emphasize something, you repeat it. Running, he ran. It means he tore. He went very, very fast. If you say happinesses, you're talking about superlative. Oh, the great happiness. That's what they mean. So, all the happinesses of the keepers of His solemn declarations who seek Him with a whole heart. Verse 3, who also do not do perverted deeds, but who walk in His ways. Verse 4, you, that's an emphatic pronoun, you, Yahweh, have given in charge Your injunctions to be kept closely. Oh, that my ways were steadfast or firm, the Hebrew verb is kun, that I might observe Your decrees. Then I would not be ashamed with my looking or paying attention to, that's a hifil stem of the Hebrew verb nabat, it's a causative, which means, oh, I would not be ashamed with my looking to or paying attention to all of Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart in my learning the judgments of Your righteousness. I'll observe Your decrees. Do not forsake me utterly, and implied in the section is because of my failings herein implied. So, we consider very significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. God blesses those who obey his words with precision. You'll notice in verse 4, you have given in charge your injunctions to be kept closely. We would say precisely. There is a warning in the book of Proverbs. Don't add to God's words and don't take away from his God's words. If you add to God's words, then he'll prove you to be a liar. If you take away from his words, then he'll punish you because you're not obeying his word. So it's extremely important for us to be precise in handling scripture. When I was taking Greek at Bible college before I ever got into Hebrew, our professor said, we're dealing now with the word of God. We're going to be dealing with the word of God as we translate it. You're not allowed to make a mistake. Now he said, in school, you're allowed, you know, you can make 98% in English grammar or whatnot. But he says, when it comes to God's word, you're not allowed to make a mistake. So the goal is not to make any mistakes. You have to be precise when you expound scripture. People are building their lives based upon what you're teaching them from the word, so you've got to be accurate. And that's exactly the implication here. So God blesses those who obey his words with precision. Okay, accordingly, the Psalm section describes several things that must occur for such precise obedience to occur en route to obtaining God's response of rich blessings as follows. The attitudes of the heart must be that of perfect integrity. Notice verse 1. Oh, the happinesses of those who have integrity. Has to be wholeheartedness, verse 2, and paying undivided attention to Scripture. So in other words, if you're going to approach Scripture to be precise, the first thing you have to do is to preach it very, you have to approach it very candidly. There can't be a divided heart and say, well, I'm going to obey most of it, but you know, I'm going to hold on to this aspect or this particular pet sin of mine over here. No, you can't do that. That will distort our handling of the Word of God. So we've got to have absolute integrity. We have to do it wholeheartedly. No matter what God's word says, I'm going to obey it, whatever it says. That's wholeheartedness. And paying undivided attention to Scripture. Now, if a person has perfect integrity and he's approaching Scripture wholeheartedly, he'll probably pay undivided attention to it because his life is going to be changed by it. But the point is you have to pay undivided attention to the word. Such attitudes lead to productive study, where one keeps what he reads in his heart. He consults the word in life's circumstances of need, verse 2b, with the result that he actually learns the word. Many years ago, when I was in seminary, we had a prof who seemed to have a bottomless pit when it came to his understanding of Scripture. He would start speaking and you could pick about any passage in the Scriptures and he could go on, he'd talk about 20 minutes for it. And finally, one of our students asked him, how come you know so much about God's Word? And the professor looked actually startled. He didn't think of himself as really knowing that much, or he hadn't thought about it. And he said, well, I know one thing. Anytime I learn something, I try to apply it immediately in my life. And then it becomes a part of my life. So that's probably why I hold on to it. So that's important. Such attitudes lead to productive study where one keeps what he reads in his heart. He then consults the word in life's circumstances of need with the result that he learns the word. And that's really true. If you take a passage that you've just learned and you take it and you use it, you apply it in your life to life circumstances, especially if there have been trials or difficulties or whatnot, and you find that it works, you learn it. C, such productive study of Scripture in turn leads to non-perverted applications of Scripture. That's very important. Sometimes the cults are great on taking Scripture and taking it out of context and applying it to stuff that is just not workable. So a productive study of Scripture will lead to non-perverted applications of Scripture. You notice verse 3, who also do not do perverted deeds. And that produce a walk in God's ways, verse 1b and 3b, that yield manifold divine blessings, so the happinesses and so forth, including honor. Now in verse 6a, it doesn't talk about honor, but it says, then I would not be shamed with my looking or paying attention. to all of your commands. Shame is something that happens when a person fails to heed the word of God. Shame is an automatic effect of that. So a person will be honored with its resulting praise to the Lord. Notice verse 7, I will praise you. The word praise can also be translated thank, but I went with praise here because both the NIV and the ESV went with it, and I respect those translations when they agree together. But it's not the general word halal. It's a different word here. But I will praise you with uprightness of heart. Now, in contrast to all of this, if one lacks the integrity and the wholeheartedness needed to view Scripture productively so as to gain God's blessing in life, he ends up experiencing shame in his life. So in reality, the psalmist realized his need for an improved attitude toward properly approaching Scripture so as to be blessed. And that's why in verse 5 he says, oh, that my ways were steadfast or firm. He recognized that they weren't, that I might observe your decrees. Then I would not be ashamed with my looking or paying attention to all of your commandments. So he knew he needed help. So he appealed to God's gracious provision to instill such an attitude in him. In verse 8, I will observe your decrees. Do not forsake me utterly. That would be because of my failings herein implied. Now, in the New Testament era of the church, we have the advantage of God's provision to help us in this regards to our attitudes. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Hold fast. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound or healthy words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. How do you do that? Verse 14, that good thing, that would be the form of sound words, which was committed unto you, preserve by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. If we rely on the Holy Spirit, not only does he produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-control, all of these qualities of character, he also produces a defense within us against errant theology. This is why when John writes in 2 John about the little, he's writing to little children who would be immature Christians, and he says, you really don't have need that any man teach you, for the anointing that you have of God, that would be the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, knows all things, and you know all things. It's interesting that there have been times when we've had people who have recently accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, just fairly new converts. They'll come and they'll talk to me and they'll say, Pastor, I was listening to somebody on the radio. At first when I tuned him in, I thought he was a pretty good speaker, but something made me feel really strange about this man. And so I actually had to turn it off. And I wonder if I did something wrong. And I'll say, well, who was it? And they'll tell me. And I'll say, well, that is a cult teacher. What happened is the Holy Spirit was warning you that what you were hearing was false. And that's why you turned it off. Now, this is a new believer. He didn't know that much about Scripture. But he just sensed something was wrong. And that's the Holy Spirit. So it's extremely important that we stay in right relationship with God. As we rely upon the Spirit of God, he works to keep us in tune with the right attitude. And if we have the right attitude, then we approach Scripture, we will understand his word. So it's very, very important that we relate to the Lord. So the lesson is to heed Scripture well and thus gain God's rich blessing. One must have an attitude of perfect integrity, wholehearted devotion to God, and to heeding his word along with a resulting undivided attention to Scripture. These attitudes lead to productive Bible study where one keeps what he reads in his heart. He consults the word in times of need with the result that he learns its lessons well. Such a productive study leads to a life of non-perverted Scripture applications that produce a godly walk with resulting divine blessings of honor and praise to God. However, failure to have such an upright attitude leads to failure to learn and thus to heed the word of God. And that results eventually in shame. So we do well to rely on God and his gracious provisions to affect our attitude. To do what Galatians 5:16 directs us to do, that is to rely on the Holy Spirit for the right attitude to study Scripture productively. In application, there is a huge contrast in blessing or its lack of blessing due to how we even approach the Bible. If we rely on the Holy Spirit to have the right attitude, we will do well and be blessed. But if we function by means of our sin natures, we will not start with the right attitude. And our understanding of, our learning of, and application of Scripture will be perverted and shamefully unproductive. So may we start to study Scripture in reliance on the Lord. Many years ago, this is before my time, the founder of Dallas Seminary, Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer, he would get the students together, and for the first 2 weeks, they wouldn't have regular classes. What the students would do is go to chapel. And Dr. Chafer would speak to the students in chapel. And the main thrust of his message was, if you are going to take advantage of the training that we're going to give you so that when you get out of here, you'll really be able to handle the Word of God, you have got to start approaching Scripture with the proper heart attitude. And so he would talk about the spiritual life, talk about the spiritual walk. I mean, he'd have all the men in the chapel. That's all they did for 2 weeks before they ever start studying Hebrew and Greek and, you know, liberal theology and all this stuff. You're going to have the proper attitude. You have to be in right relationship with the Lord. And he would spend 2 weeks doing it. Now, by the time I got there, Dr. Chafer, of course, he died the year I was born. So they weren't doing that anymore. I wish they had. Because immediately I was thrown into this intensive study. And Dallas Seminary, it was very intensive at the time. And you're just caught up in trying to get all your homework right and so forth. And even what studying you did of Scripture was just for academic purposes. And there was a great temptation, actually, to let down on your personal walk with the Lord because you're so caught up in the studies. And it's a danger. I think that happens in Christian colleges as well. There's a great danger in that area, so we've got to watch out for it. But especially when it comes to studying Scripture, if you just approach Scripture flat-footed, you'll probably not get very far. And the Word of God won't open up. Dr. Mitchell wrote an article many years ago. He was one of my profs at Multnomah School of the Bible. He wrote it for the Moody Monthly magazine. And he indicated how there are times when he gets ready to study the Word of God, and he studies, and he says, I'm not getting anything out of it. So he says, I get down on my knees. He was the guy, he'd pray, get on his knees and his elbows on the chair, all right? He got down, that's how he prayed. And he said, Lord, I need some help here because I'm just not getting anything out of this. And I'll pray about it. He says, I'll get up. And he says, all of a sudden, the Scriptures just open up like a rose, just like that. All of a sudden, the lesson is right there, and I see it. And then he says, I thank the Lord for what he's revealed to me, which is really important. And it's incredibly important that we study Scripture this way. As we approach the Word of God, then we will find information in it. And we'll find a lot of information. We used to study Acts 1:8. They used to teach us how to study the Scriptures. And we had to come up with 25 observations out of the book of Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses and be both in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's basically what the verse says. So we struggled, and we would come back with 25 observations, different truths that are taught in that passage. Then the prof said, that's fine. Now you have to come up next week with another 25. They have to be different from this. He did it for 3 weeks in a row. We were supposed to come up with 75. And then when we were struggling with that, he said, did you know that we've discovered over 150 truths taught in that verse? 150 truths. Now, you tie it together, for example, with the word, but ye shall receive power, and you look at the context, what does the but mean? And it's looking in contrast to what the disciples had asked before. So that opens up a whole new panorama of truth. But there are a minimum of 150 different truths that we know that Acts 1:8 alone teaches. We have to be open to the Lord for that. One of the truths I found is priceless is that Acts 1:8 actually teaches the deity of the Holy Spirit. Because it says, you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you'll be witnesses because of that power all over the world. Well, that means the Holy Spirit, as the church spreads out and they're witnesses all over the world, the Holy Spirit has got to be omnipresent. He's got to be in all these places at the same time. If he's omnipresent, he's God. So that's one of the priceless truths that is taught. Now, it's not actually stated in the scripture text itself, but it's taught. It's taught there because of the implications. All of this comes because of a person's proper relationship to the Lord. So it's very important that we get in right relationship with the Lord and then we study scripture. Now, along with this, there's also the issue of teaching gift. God may not have given us the spiritual gift of teaching, and that will affect the amount of content, perhaps, that we get out of scripture, whereas a person who's been given the gift of teaching will get more out of it and so forth. But there's always priceless truth there that God can teach us with if our heart is in proper relationship to the Lord. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. Could be on the passage itself. Doesn't have to be if there's something else that is coming.